When I was 7, my grandpa passed away, and they took us and they brought us to the orphanage. My first orphanage was a big nightmare. Basically, through that time, I was just surviving. When he told me about Jesus, that's when I start, praying. So I would just hide in a bush and I would just pray. Like, honestly, I didn't know what I was doing, but he told me prayer will help you. I start like, kind of following like, okay, there's something greater than no hope for me. Like I believe that there is hope. And, I start praying and, praying for a family and, pray for escape this place.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello and welcome to the Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
Hi, Wendy. I'm Todd Isburner. Glad to be here today.
Yes.
Again, another incredible story awaits you, my friend.
Yes.
We have got a guest that we were connected with that we know God brought him here with us to us so that you could be exposed to a story that will give you hope.
Yes. Imagine growing up in an orphanage, feeling forgotten by the world. And then, just as hope seemed out of reach, everything changes. So today's guest, Vlad Robinson, he has lived that story from a childhood of loneliness and hardship in Ukraine to finding a new life and a new identity with a family halfway across the world, like in Oklahoma.
Yeah, like people from the South where they talk funny.
Hey, hey, hey.
Well, Vlad's journey isn't really just about survival. It's about redemption. It's about resilience and the incredibly remarkable power of God's grace. He's so tightly connected with the Lord. You're going to hear that in just a moment. So if you've ever felt stuck in your own pain and hopelessness or wondered, is there a way out? Could my story be rewritten? Well, Vlad is living proof that it can.
Enjoy the show. All right. Well, welcome, Vlad, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
It's great to have you here. And it's great that we were introduced through a former guest that we had on the podcast. And she said, you got to talk to this guy. He's got quite the story. And so we did a little checking out. And man, you do have quite a story. And we're excited to present that to our listeners and our viewers today.
Yes. And, actually, you reached out to me, and then we connected and found out the connection with Candace. But I know that you have this story that you've been really wanting to get out there even more. And the story is a story of redemption. And it's like loaded. It's a loaded story because it all starts where and when for you. Like, I know it's in the orphanage from what I saw in the testimony you gave me. At what age were you sent to the orphanage?
Well, I was 7 years old when my grandpa passed away. My parents was pretty much alcoholics. Like, they was not taking care of us. And my grandpa took control of me and my brothers. And when I was 7, my grandpa passed away. And after he passed away, they came and they took us and they brought us to the orphanage. And yeah, I was 7 when I ended up in an orphanage.
Wow. And we hear a little bit of an accent. So where was this orphanage?
Well, the orphanage was in Ukraine, in the middle of nowhere, small village that probably hard to find if you don't know the area. So, yeah, it's a small, really, really small village with just big building.
Well, we're anxious to hear what happened in those years of loneliness and fear and things that you endured while you're in the orphanage. But I just want to pause for a moment, Vlad, because anytime anybody here in America hears that somebody's from Ukraine, they immediately want to know, so what's going on? What do you think about what's happening now in Ukraine with the war? So just give us a little bit of your perspective on where things are at and where you think things are headed.
From my perspective, it's probably dead end for Ukraine. Like, I just don't see hope over there for them. I mean, there is always hope. And, you know, we have to pray to God just to save that place, because in my mind, it's just those political games that no one understands why people dying from that. And that's just so sad that, you know, people struggling just because they want something bigger than what they have.
Right.
And that's, it's just true. Really sad. Like, I try not to think about it, because I lost my really good friend during that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard for me to think, and I just try to stay away from it. Yeah. I still, you know, talk to my friends and ask them, but it just makes me sad.
Well, you've had you've had your share of sadness and pain as a young boy growing up in an orphanage, and you had some siblings. So were you all together in the same orphanage?
Yes, we went together to the same orphanage. We were not same age. So when you finish the, you know, last grade of the orphanage, they moved you to another orphanage. And that's what happened with me. When I finished the first one, they moved me to another orphanage, and, you know, my brother stayed there, and I went to another one. And through the second orphanage, that's when I got opportunity to come to the United States.
It's been so hard.
I can't even imagine being separated from, first you're separated from your biological parents, right? And then you're separated from your brothers. And that's got to feel just so lonely and just heartbreaking, right?
Yeah.
So how did you deal with that at that age, at such a young age, trying to process, but, you know, before you got adopted and came to the U.S.?
Well, my first orphanage was a big nightmare, because, you know, older kids would do horrible things to you, and just any kind of things, from anywhere, making you go steal things, sexual abuse, like, I mean, I went through everything. And basically, through that time, I was just surviving. Like, I was not living my childhood life. I was just surviving, hoping for something better, hoping that something will come. And that's basically how was my life when I was a kid, just trying and make it through another day.
The next day, yeah.
You must have thought to yourself, this is the way life's always going to be. I have nothing to look forward to. And that must have brought just tremendous sadness and hopelessness for you. But then you get word that there's a possible adoption. Walk us through that. What happened? How did that happen?
Well, can I tell you a little bit story about how I find out Jesus? Find out about
100%. Jesus. Yeah, we want to know your Jesus story.
in the first orphanage, we would have volunteers who would come and, you know, just spend time with us. And there is a man named Doug. He would come every Saturday to our orphanage and just, you know, make fun time for us. And I believe in orphanage, they are not allowed to talk about, you know, any religion, nothing at all. But I got, like, really close with Doug. Like, at the moment, I feel like he's my, like, dad, because, you know, I can call him and I can talk to him about basically anything. But at some point, he told me about Jesus in orphanage. You know, he told me about prayer. He told me, you know, things that was not making sense to me, but I still, like, okay, what if this will work? What if, you know, what he said, I can change my life through that? And so I didn't know what I was doing, right? And so I would just hide in a bush and I would just pray. Like, honestly, I didn't know what I was doing, but he told me prayer will help you. And so I think that was my breakthrough when he told me about Jesus. That's when I start you know, praying and hiding in a bush from other kids because they would make fun of you if they see you doing something like that. And so through the dog, I start like, you know, kind of following like, okay, there is something greater than no hope for me. Like I believe that there is hope. And, you know, I start praying and, you know, praying for a family and, you know, pray for escape this place and have a good life. And, you know, I was just hoping. And that's how I start like kind of thinking about Jesus.
What age was that?
That was about like, you know, when I was probably 11 or 12, like a few years later after I came to the orphanage.
Wow. Well, I think of how beautiful that childlike faith is, mm-hmm. and how God sees you. Like it just makes me want to cry because it's so pure and beautiful. And that's how we are to all come to the Lord with that childlike faith. Mm-hmm. And you said, I didn't know what I was doing, but I just trusted that prayer was the answer. And
yeah. Wow.
So you've been praying to get out of this orphanage and for your life to be different. And so at what age did that transpire?
Well, you know, I still was like, didn't know what I was doing until I came to United States, honestly. When I moved to second orphanage, there's people who was actually coming from the church. So I went to church, but honestly, that was just to have fun and just to escape from something that was, you know, hurting me. Sure. And spend time with some people who really understand you and, you know, spend time with you, like felt like real friends. Mm-hmm. And when I accepted Jesus, it was when I came to United States.
Okay. All right.
And I can tell that story too.
Yeah. So, well, let's find out though, you're in the second orphanage. You've been praying that you would be able to get out. So what happened that you actually, there's a family in Oklahoma.
Of all places.
How'd that connection happen?
Okay. So that's really cool because, you know, I believe with all my heart that was, you know, prayer, because I always wanted to have a family. I always wanted to have a big sister. Like, you know, I have just all brothers. Yeah. And, you know, I was praying just like for family, for good life, like, you know, people that will actually love me, like, you know. And through that prayer, I think that's how everything happened, because I was really doing in wrestling in this second orphanage. And it was a big city. It was not like small village. So like there's few coaches that really wanted me to join their team. And so I joined the team, and, you know, my director in second orphanage, he's like, okay, so you have a really good opportunity over here. Like, you know, you have potential to be a good wrestler. And, you know, through that, like I end up being a good kid. And then there is a organization came to the orphanage, like kind of getting like few kids to go to United States for like a host summer or something, like, you know, they were just trying to get kids to go see what's over there. And they were picking like 5 kids, and somehow I got in that top 5 list. Wow. To go to United States just for 2 months. And I guess they have like a website that you family goes, and they're like, okay, they read the stuff about us. Yeah. And they're like, okay, we're going to take this kid
family.
We can be host for this kid. And that's how I ended up coming here.
Okay, that's pretty cool. You know, when you say you were a wrestler, now it's making even more sense, because if you were a good wrestler, you were likely wrestling with God in prayer too. I can just picture you, you know, asking God for these things that you felt would, you know, would make your life better. And he's answering that prayer in ways that you're not expecting. So this family in Oklahoma reaches out, you come over. Take us to the next step. What happened when you got here? And you're not speaking any English, is that right?
No, the English at all. Like it was, I think it was the hardest thing ever. I think it was a language barrier, and it was food because I can like when I came here, I could not eat anything like except pizza. That's it. Pizza, and sometimes mom would make like mashed potatoes, and I was like, oh
You're like, what
yeah.
is this terrible
Oh
standard
my
American
gosh,
diet
yes.
stuff?
Yeah, but I just remember, coming here and my mom would just sit with me on a porch in our little house and use the Google Translator that was like terrible, that would not translate right. Right now we have a little bit better stuff, but at that point in 2015, it was not good. And sometimes I would just type something in Ukrainian and translate to English. And mom would read, and she was just reading, and you just suddenly see shock on her face. And I was like, what? And she just asked me questions like, what does this mean? What does that mean? And I was like, try translate back, and it would just translate something weird. I was just like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Like, that's not my intention to say. So, yeah, it was really hard because, I would get so angry because, people try to communicate with me, but I was just not able to. And it was just so frustrating and, upsetting. And I just want to go home because it was hard.
So when you're here, you're with this host family, and were you doing any kind of wrestling at all, or during this time, or was it just to see the United States and
No, it was just to see United States and
Okay.
just to experience life here, like,
Yeah.
and on that part of the on that side of the world, like, people dream to go to United States. People like just talk good things about it. People like you never hear anything bad about it. And that was like opportunity of lifetime just to go and see something greater than what you experienced in the past. And I
And
got
was
the
it what you
opportunity.
expected? Was it everything you expected and more, or not as much?
Well, I mean, I really didn't know what to expect. Like, I heard that it was like amazing, and people like have nice cars and like just like, and I was excited to see all that. And coming here, I was just like, wow. And I was just pointing like to everything, like, big building, nice cars, like big airports. Like for me, it was just everything so new and interesting that I was just like, I was in another world. Like, it was so amazing.
So I'm sure things were just swirling around you as you're trying to process what life is like in a new culture and a place you've never been to before.
Different
But
language.
tell us more about the Jesus story part of it, because you had a foundation of prayer thanks to, was his name Doug,
Doug.
who came into the
Doug.
orphanage? Yeah.
Yeah, he was the foundation.
He was the foundation. So now you're here and you've got all these distractions with this transition. So how did God get your attention, and what did that lead to?
So at first, when I came here, my parents took me to a church. Like it's a small Nazarene church in I don't know, in small town here. I start like feeling like I found a family because, we go there every Wednesday, every Sunday, twice a day. Spending that time with those people just basically opened me up and like gave me like ability to think that there is people that really care about you, the people that really love you. Like, they were just welcoming you all the time, always try, talk to you, always just nice to you, and like something that I never experienced in the past being in orphanage. Like, because in orphanage no one cares about you. Like, it's just you just surviving there. And here, I came here and I just felt all that love, and it was just so amazing. Like, basically made me like different like person, almost like, you know,
and
the
to be
feeling
able to
of
trust
like,
somebody again,
yeah,
right?
Feeling of acceptance, like the people accepted me, like who I am, and like, you know, that's just made my soul like just happy. And like, I didn't want to leave, like, I want to stay here forever, I don't want to go back to orphanage. Like, it was just something amazing that I never experienced before. So,
I should have to stop for a moment because I think you being brought into a Christian community like that, mm-hmm. where they genuinely loved you,
yeah.
can make so much of a difference in a person's lives that I think we sometimes we underestimate the importance of that.
Yeah.
So I'm just talking to all of us right now who go to church or whatever your environment is. You can't beat the fact that when you show genuine love, people will respond, and it will bring them closer to God, mm-hmm. because it's expression of His love through you. And that's got to get us all excited about just living it out in love to reach others, because we love God and we love others. So I think it's awesome God brought you in that community. Now you're feeling loved, you're feeling accepted, you're feeling these new things. So what happened next?
And so, you know, we spend, so I didn't tell you, so my brothers, they were like in another orphanage, but because, you know, I get the opportunity, they had to go to other orphanage and tell them that they're coming with me, because they cannot separate family who's in orphanage and send to another country. So I guess it's a rule.
That's good.
And so they came with me. And, you know, that summer was just so amazing. But same time, it was hard because, you know, language barrier. We were missing home. We were just like, this place didn't feel like it's home because, you know, I cannot communicate with people. I can't eat my food. Like, it was just so hard. And, you know, me praying in orphanage, one day me and my mom just were talking on a porch again. And I brought something about like that I always wanted to have a family. And I think what I remember is family cannot talk about adoption until someone from, you know, like me bring it up, and then she can start talking about it. And so I brought that up, and, you know, my mom was just like, okay, now we're talking. And so she was like, hey, what do you think if we adopt you guys? And I was like, I would love that. Like, you know, for me, it was just like, when she asked me that, I was just like, okay, it's done. Like, I'm ready. Just take me away from that place. I don't want to be there anymore. Like, you know, I know it's home, but like, I'm ready. And so me and my youngest right away said yes, but my middle said he won't go home. And if one of us said no, we all go back and they cannot do anything because they cannot separate the family. And so, and I was just, you know, again, I was start praying, like, I was like, God, change my brother's mind. Like, you know, he's just probably don't understand what he's doing. And, you know, we're getting this great opportunity to be adopted, and he's just losing that. And, you know, so time's come to the end, you know, 2 months, and 2 weeks before, my brother come to me and he like, hey, can you tell them that I want to be adopted too? And I was like, yes, I'll definitely tell them that. So I talked to my mom, and, you know, she said, okay, great. We're going to start working on paperwork. And, you know, we went back to Ukraine, stayed there a year. They finished all the paperwork, everything. And it was pretty much a year later, they came and got us from Ukraine and brought us here.
Amazing. And you were 17, is that correct?
It was 16. It was
16.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was almost 17.
All right. Almost 17. So, you know, going into adulthood, like one more year and you'd be an adult. And so I think
yes.
if your parents, now your mom, that had the vision and the love in their heart to adopt you guys, especially at your age. Like, I think so many people will adopt younger, but not someone that's older. And so I just have like major kudos to your mom. Like, I think this is so beautiful and shows how big her heart is.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest miracle for me because, you know, like you say, like no one adopting the old, and you know, my parents did, and you know, that's where I saw that it's God's power. That like I was just like, you know, when we went back after that summer, I was just like, there's no way they're gonna adopt us. Like I think they just said it, but like I just don't believe it. Like I'm almost adult. Like how is this possible? Like you know, and it was just like you know, being an orphanage that year. Like I was just always questioning. I was just always like, no. And there's like teachers that they're encouraging. Like no, this is not gonna happen. They're lying to you. They're like you know, just all negative. And like you know, in my heart, I was just thinking like, yeah. I probably believe that there's no way they're gonna adopt us.
So
And
I mean, you're in a situation where it begins to really feel like it's going to be hopeless, and you start believing that. What changed? What gave you, what restored your hope, and how did you get through that process?
probably when they came to get you.
Yeah, I
Well, that
think
was a big
that's
part of it.
so. I mentioned my friend Doug, right? And
Yes.
so my parents actually called Doug asking for permission to adopt us because me and Doug and you know my brothers, we were so close. Like Doug would always come and visit us, and you know they call him for permission. And I think talking to Doug through the phone like was you know encouraging me that you know it's possible because he would just tell me like things that like okay, so they call me, they ask me. And they're really hoping that this is gonna happen, and like, you know. So I think talking to Doug was like big part of this journey and believing that this is gonna happen.
Well, and do your parents have any Ukrainian, I mean, are they connected to Ukraine in any way? Are they
Not at
Ukrainian? I mean,
all.
no. So
No.
I wonder how, I don't know. I guess your prayers, that's what happened.
So I'm gonna tell you a little bit about my parents. So my parents have
Yeah.
been missionary in China for 20 years,
Oh.
and when they moved back in 2014, I believe, that's when they decided like they want to adopt. And somehow I really don't know like how mom found me like on that website, or like maybe she was. What I remember, I think she was just helping like that organization or something, and she just saw me and she just felt something from God that like, hey, this kid needs to be adopted, or like some
Yes.
like it's incredible. Like, you know, talking to my mom about that and how she would just see this situation through like prayers that like, you know, and craziest thing that she told me is just like, you know, I told you I was praying in the bushes and like, you know, hiding from other kids. And my mom like told me like I heard those prayers like, and she started telling me like everything where I was praying about it. And I never shared with her that.
That's
And
the
I
worst
think
news. Yeah.
that's when I felt like, okay, this is real. Jesus is real. God is real. Like there's
Right.
no way like how she know all those things. Like
That's
it was
beautiful.
blowing my mind because I could not believe what she was telling me. Like, you know,
Yeah.
the feeling of like, okay, this is like, this is out of my thinking. Like, I didn't know what to
That's how you know it's
think. Just
God,
think
right?
about that Jesus and God is real. Like, you know,
Yeah.
so.
And do they
Man,
have
man.
biological children
Yes,
their own? But how
I have
many?
three older,
You have three
one
older.
sister and two brothers.
Ah, you got that older sister, did you? That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about the just the people that God brought into your life, the story. Like, number one, Doug. You know, like we all need to be a Doug
We
for
need,
somebody.
right?
And we
Yeah.
all, you know, and we all need a mom like you have, who really knows how to talk with God, and more
And
importantly, how to
listen.
listen to God. I mean,
Yeah.
oh man, that we would all be able to hear God so clearly that we can make moves that are maybe outside our comfort zone, or doing things that we maybe don't understand, but we know this is what God wants. So your parents really are, they're a great model, and we just, you know, we admire them as your hero in
Big
so
time.
many
And
ways.
I even think, Todd, like, just again, adopting at your age.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I want someone to be inspired.
It's a miracle.
That's listening to this podcast. Yeah. That it doesn't matter if you've got your own adult children or whatever, but there are children young and of almost adult age that need to be adopted, and you can change their life and the trajectory of their faith and their eternity. So it's beautiful.
One more thought that comes up about adoption, because the Bible is very clear that we've been adopted into God's family. Mm-hmm. And your story is such a great illustration of that.
Is.
Here are these beautiful parents of yours adopting you into their family, just like God adopts us into his family, so that we can live a life of peace and joy and productivity. So I got to ask you, Vlad, because there are so many people, some who are listening right now, and they feel like they're in just a hopeless situation. Like, things are just not going my way. I don't think they're ever going to go my way. I don't see how it's going to come out good. What can you say to them, sort of encourage them, that their story might feel hopeless in the moment, but not to give up?
Well, I think it's comes back to never give up. And you just keep hoping, keep praying, because, you know, prayer is a powerful thing that can lead you to something great, like what happened with me. And I feel like in prayer, what I realized is you just have to have consistency and trust in God that he will bring something great to your life. Even you, if you're going through things that hurting you, breaking you, the prayer will follow up that and bring you something great to your life.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's so beautiful. To kind of piggyback that in a different way, if you could go back to your younger self in that orphanage, what would you tell him? What would you tell your younger self in that orphanage?
Oh, again, I would say, don't give up. The greatest thing is coming, and you know, you'll be happy one day. Like, even you're going through this hard time, you know, it's amazing. I don't know. It's just
don't lose hope, right?
Yeah.
I wish
that smile on your face is so contagious.
I'm hoping some of you are watching this on YouTube, because Vlad's got that genuine smile that says, I'm free.
It's free. The Jesus
I'm saved.
Smile.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. So tell us a little bit about your walk with the Lord now, and how God is, you know, continuing to grow you and also to use you. What's going on?
Because you're about 27 now, right?
Yes.
27. Okay.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I gave my life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So the time when we came to the United States in 2016, I think when I accept fully Jesus in my heart is when we got to the Oklahoma airport, and there is like over 100 people like cheering for you and welcoming you. And like, you know, I literally like felt something incredible in my heart, like that, you know, this is my home. I feel it, like, and you know, I accepted Jesus. I start going to church. I start working with kids. Like, I love kids, and you know, I go to Life Church, and you know, I work with Switch, and I was working with 2-year-olds, and you know, like, I feel like my mission is kids right now, and I love that. And I work at the camps. I go and help at the camps during the summer, and you know, just something that I enjoy, and also that's where I feel like God telling me to do, because I feel like I have ability to, you know, do that kind of work,
and to pour into these young kids that may
beautiful.
Be feeling lonely or discouraged or hopeless themselves. You've been there. You have the right and the authority to speak into their lives in a beautiful way, to say, look, right here, this is hope because of what I've been through. Not that maybe you're telling them your story, but still, they can just see the Jesus in you, and then that models and leads them to a better place. So that's beautiful.
So I just want to clarify, because so you felt like the sort of the moment that it became real in terms of you committing your life to Jesus mm-hmm. was when you're in that airport.
They're ushering him home.
And 100 people are cheering for you.
And yeah.
That's how it's going to be when we get to heaven. Well, everyone's going to be like, well, ushering us home.
You saw 100 people on the ground, but you didn't see the thousands of angels applauding in heaven.
Hallelujah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanking God for bringing you to himself.
I just felt the presence of God like that, you know, like I finally home, like I finally find people that actually love me and care about me. Oh, and, you know, it was
beautiful.
That's so
I think
sad.
It was my happiest moment in my life, just see that and realizing that there's people that care about you.
Yeah,
your story
the power
is,
of love.
That's exactly it. Your story is so powerful in terms of how people can respond to real, genuine love. It starts with God's love, but he's going to have to find the people who are willing to be his vessels that he can pour his love through to affect others like you. And you yourself are now that channel of God's love as you're pouring into others around you, especially the children, to show and help them believe God is real and God loves you and he cares about you.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, we're so grateful that we had an opportunity to have you as our guest. We know that God is going to use you in great ways.
And already is. Yeah, already is in mighty ways. And I think about just how your story is a reminder that broken beginnings, they don't define our endings. Mm-hmm. And so I think of other people that may be in a broken, dark kind of place right now and how that doesn't define who you are. And you're an example of that. And so as we wrap up today, what would you just say to that person that, and I know we've kind of been talking about there's hope, don't give up, but is there a scripture verse that you really cling to? Is there something that has carried you through that maybe could inspire and encourage them?
I just like to think that, you know, there's always hope for, sorry, I'm a little bit losing it. I'm nervous. I do read my Bible like every day and, you know, I go through, Isaiah and Isaiah, like give me like so much, word that I can lean on and like, just keep going with that. And, I never give up. I just going through everything, what's on my path. And that's how I live my life.
We love the fact that, I mean, God's word is so important in your life and that you cling to it. You receive his blessing through it and his instruction and his motivation and his inspiration and the way he provides you with the hope that you need. And that's good for all of us.
It is. It is.
And workable for all of us.
And you have also shared just through your testimony that life's an adventure and to trust the process and surrender. And when I think of adventure, I go to your Instagram page and you are very adventurous. You rock climb, you hike, you ski, you're like an adventure dude.
He's living
like,
the dream.
Living the dream. Like you're just doing all the wonderful things that God sets before you and the adventure space as well. So that's super fun to watch. So anyway, we just appreciate having you on and thank you for sharing your story. If there's anything else you want to share before we wrap up, if not,
I think I'm good.
I just didn't want to leave you hanging there.
No, I mean, I can say about, you know, my adventure is just like how I see things is just, I just enjoy everything and I try not to waste my time because, you know, the time I lose in lost in orphanage is just, feels like I'm catching on everything right now. Now I'm with God and, you know, he's with me. So I just enjoy life while I can.
Full of gratitude. That's
well, if Vlad's story moved you in any way today, do someone else a favor and share this episode so that they too can believe and act on a breakthrough that God has for them.
Yeah. So thanks so much for being on the show. And we will catch you all next week. Same time, same place. And your biggest breakthrough. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. Vlad is such a special human being, isn't he?
He's got a great heart. I'm telling you, he's a man's man, but he's a softie on the inside. And he's just been so transformed by what God has done in his life.
Yeah. And so offline, after we got done recording the interview, he's like, hey, can we keep talking? So we talked for a little while longer. Again, he's so precious. And anyway, he shared just some other stories. And then he shared something about the orphanages that I thought, oh my gosh, I wish we had that recorded. And so we asked him, can we share? And he said, yes. So here's the deal.
His heart is broken over those children, so many of which are still, in a sense, trapped in these orphanages. And when I say trapped, it's primarily because of it's a deception that's going on, not in all of the orphanages, but in some of the orphanages.
Yeah. And he even said that he had the opportunity to get adopted two other times, but they declined these families. And basically what goes on in these orphanages, which he's got this righteous anger about, which I don't blame him. I mean, I have it now too. I'm just like, oh my gosh. But I guess the people that work in these orphanages, they tell these children lies about people that want to adopt them, saying that people in the United States just want to harvest their organs. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's just really, really sad and disturbing. And so it keeps these kids in fear, keeps them trapped at these orphanages and continuing down this horrible, wretched journey of this abuse, from sexual to mental to emotional.
What child would ever want to be out of an orphanage if they thought that the reality is they're going to kill me and use my organs? So why would they do that? And again, this is not in all the orphanages, it's not everybody, but there's enough of it going on that that it needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
But they do it because, as you can imagine, Ukraine now, because things are so broken apart, jobs are hard to come by. And these are people who need employment, who work within the orphanages, and that system allows them to stay employed and make a living. And so they sort of cave into whatever they have to do to keep the kids and keep the orphanages running. Right. And that's the sad part about it.
So, yeah. So we hope that this podcast opened your eyes a little bit. Hopefully you heard from Vlad's heart. Again, he's so precious, and what the Lord can do in our lives when we pray with a childlike heart. And again, God sees you no matter where you are, if you're hiding in a bush or not. He sees you, he hears you, and he answers our prayers. And Vlad is living proof of that. But I hope that you're also educated in just what we just shared here, that, I don't know, maybe you might be inspired to adopt. I know that's an interesting and bold statement, but kids need adopted. Here's your permission slip. Go adopt a kid. Are we going to adopt? Oh my gosh.
No, we're not quite there, but
who knows if the Lord tells us. Yeah.
For certain, at the very least, let's be inspired to reach out.
Yes.
Just like this Doug did to young Vlad, and to love them. And this community, this church community that he's brought into, how they just expressed God's love through their love for him. So every one of us can be inspired and need to do that for others.
Right. So thanks so much for tuning in to this episode. And we will catch you next time on Your Biggest Breakthrough. And if you want to go and check out any of the other episodes, you can find us on, you know, all the platforms, but also you can go to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com. Blessings and take care. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment. And we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.